Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When I was a little kid, my dad was a cop. You see, my dad was a cop in the 80s in Sydney, which is generally regarded as the Wild West of law enforcement. A terrifying time to be a cop or a criminal or just to be in Sydney full stop. And I, one day, stumbled upon his case files and they absolutely ruined me. So years later, I approached Dad and we went through his old case files together and it became a book, Loose Units. It's in stores right now, actually. And now we're doing a podcast about it. Loose Units, the podcast, is a weekly true crime podcast where I sit across from my dad, an ex-cop from the 80s, and we dive deep into the seedy underbelly of Sydney's policing. So we're doing this podcast down here in Collingwood every week at Castaway Studios together, and we hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the final episode of Season 1 of Loose Units, the podcast. I know that I've said that before, but this time it's true. We will be back, obviously, very, very soon with more Loose Units, so, you know, you can relax. But for this final episode of Season 1 of Loose Units, the podcast, Dad and I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk to, and the clock is ticking, so I guess we should start. Dad, how do you feel about having reached the end of the first season?
I'm really, really happy. It's full on.
You're not meant to be happy. You're meant to be devastated. It's over.
No, well, I'm happy because I know we're going to do another season.
Okay, great.
But the thing is, it's full on. I mean, flying to Melbourne, for example, to do these, that's fairly full on.
Well, yeah.
And I love Melbourne. I love it.
Sure.
I love the National Gallery of Victoria, which actually should be the National Gallery of Australia. It used to be. The one in Canberra's, sorry, it's just not up to scratch.
Now, I don't know how many listeners we have in Canberra, but Canberra is a silly place. Let's plow on into the crime stories. We've got quite a bit to get through. First up, we are going to talk about, you've just told me, cleaning Mossman Police Station is a thing.
So, here's a little story out of the annals of my police career that is, again, slightly weird. It'll show the listeners, it will demonstrate to you all the culture of the day. And Paul's got no idea about this story.
I don't, but I do like the fact that it's so cute that you do little blurbs for this. It's like you sell the story before you tell the story.
No, but I really believe in this and I'm surprised, I guess, that more people haven't spoken
about this.
Not this in necessarily, but you know, when I look back on my time in the police force, I used to see things fairly regularly that struck me at the time as being weird, immoral, corrupt, just plain wrong, and some of them were just so blatantly bad. And here's a little story about when I worked at Mossman. Now, it might not sound like a big story, and in a way, it doesn't have a lot to do with policing.
What's wrong? It might not be relevant. It might not be interesting. It might not even be illegal. But God damn it, I'm going to dedicate 15 minutes of this podcast.
No, but it's a great... All right, well, you be the judge, Paul, and let the listeners decide.
Sure.
So, Mossman Police Station. Now, here's a little bit of... I'm not sure whether I've mentioned this to you, but Mossman Police Station, which was a substation of North Sydney...
Yes, you mentioned that in the book, yes.
Great. So, Mossman... So, North Sydney had the paddy wagon, 6-1, 6-2, 6-3.
Yep.
And Mossman was 6-10, 6-11. And it was in an old house. Have I ever told you the story about the house, Paul? It used to operate, it was like a sort of a a late Victorian beautiful home in Mossman.
Are you describing the show Heartbeat, where he operated out of a small, beautiful house?
Well, no, but that's what it was like. Oh. It was a beautiful period home. It had fireplaces and beautiful mantel clocks over the... I mean, it was really quite weird.
That's
and
quite
it had antique furniture.
Sure, okay.
So, basically, there was... And it didn't operate night shift. It only was the day shift and the afternoon shift. Well, and it had no detectives.
Well, because at night, someone lived there by the sounds
no,
of it.
No, no one lived there. They'd
really?
Shut it down. They'd close the door at 11 o'clock and everyone would just go home.
Any bedrooms?
And it
there?
Was empty. And it was a proper house.
Oh, that's so cute.
So here's a little story that not many people will know. Across the road from Mossman Police Station lived a judge. And he had some clout. And when he found out that Mossman Police Station was not opening at night time, he... obviously made a few phone calls to the then powers that be. And so basically they were even considering shutting the station down. It was so old and antiquated.
Right.
So what he did, he made calls to the right people and they did a complete multi-million dollar refurbishment, brought in detectives, highway patrol, and did a refurb and made it 24 hours because he lived opposite.
Hang on, why would he... want more
he
people.
Wanted to feel safer between the wee hours. You with me?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, don't you? Wouldn't you feel more secure if you lived opposite a police station that was open 24 hours a day?
Not really, because then there'd be all sorts of criminal elements not, being brought in there.
Nah, not at Mossman. Pretty quiet station. So it was a really quiet station.
Right.
And because of his political influence. Anyway, so it became a magnificent, beautiful, the interior, the toilets, it was just state of the art. So much money was put into it.
Yeah.
And there was a particular officer in charge at Mossman Police Station, and I definitely won't be mentioning him, his name. And through some mysterious method, he managed to get ready for this, the cleaning contract for Mossman Police Station.
Now, what does that mean?
It means that he's in charge of the cleanliness, the lawns, the vacuuming, the cleaning, the toilets, everything, and he would have been picking up a sizable sum, annual sum, for doing all the work. So we used to come in on the night shift, and guess what? You can guess what I'm going to say, can't you? He got us, the constables, to do all the station cleaning.
Holy shit.
So we'd be there cleaning toilets. So a couple of things that I had a problem with. Firstly, that's not why I joined the police force.
No, you want to clean up crime, not poo.
Correct. And secondly, that was good, Paul. And secondly, he was benefiting financially, he and his wife, from this amazing contract. He was getting all us to be the lackeys. And while we were doing that and getting no thanks, no money, no nothing for it, no kudos, no nothing, we weren't out there doing what I was there to do, which was, call me controversial, policing.
Mm.
And that went on for years. And he did very nicely out of it. But the weird thing is also he never even gave any of us workers anything. He no money, no beer, no nothing.
Those are the two options.
In fact, I don't even think he thanked us. And he tried to con us all into thinking that that was actually part of the job.
Sure.
Of being a police officer at Mossman.
Bill's moral fortitude or some crap.
It's weird. Why did you say Bill?
I said Bill's.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm keeping that in.
Good. Love it.
There we go. Shady. So listen, I mean, at what point did you find out that...
No, I knew all along.
How did you know all along?
It was common knowledge.
How is it common knowledge?
People spoke about it.
Openly?
Yeah.
Right. So it was like, listen, you're going to have to clean the toilets just so you know he's getting
and
paid
for this.
And vacuum
and do everything.
That's...
Anyway, at the same time, there was a particular police officer that, not sure whether I hope he ever listens to this podcast. He probably won't. This particular police officer, a male... has gone on to great things in the police force.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was lazy. He treated the job as a complete joke. And get ready for this, he wore slippers and a dressing gown when he used to work behind the counter.
That's kind of a boss move, in my opinion.
At Mossman Police Station.
Right.
So he was, I thought it was a joke.
I mean, that sounds adorable to me.
No, it's stupid.
Right. You don't want to be comfortable when you're at work? You know, when you put on like a policeman onesie?
Look, that is insane.
Ever get into some flannelette?
But the weird thing is that he's gone on to great things, so
right.
I rest my case.
So maybe that actually... aided his police acumen. Maybe you're a bit
just so laughable.
I just don't. I mean, the uniform thing. How important is the uniform to the job?
Well, it's the uniform. You don't come into a police station expecting someone to be wearing an Onkaparinga dressing gown.
Wait.
And matching slippers.
Yeah, how do you... Wait, were they at least blue and white?
No, they weren't. They were like that brown one you used to have when you were little.
Wait, are you...
You love dressing gowns.
Did he have my dressing gown?
Not yours, but similar.
Well, look, Dad, it's raining today, which segues pretty neatly into the...
Is it really raining?
It's really raining outside, yeah.
I thought I heard rain on the roof before.
Yeah, that's rain. Hopefully it didn't... The speakers didn't pick it up. But you've also told me you had a case that is titled simply Man in the Rain. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that was pretty heavy. So at the North Sydney Detective's Office, I went in there one night and I actually can't believe I haven't told you this story, but they were doing a record of interview with a pretty bad guy. And one of the detectives, a very senior detective sergeant, who was hadn't been at the station that long, had a bit of a fierce reputation.
Right.
So there were sort of, you rated detectives on how, well, I did anyway, on how shit scared I was of them.
Right.
You know.
Do you have any other adjectives to describe different points on the scale of how scared you were?
Well, 10's the worst.
But what number is fierce?
Fierce?
Yeah. You said he was fierce. What number is fierce on the scale?
It's pretty well near the highest.
Right, like an 8 or a 9?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
pretty,
okay.
Pretty scary type of guy.
Sure. And where was, how far down was dressing gown and slippers?
Not even a 0.
Oh, he's got to be on the scale somewhere.
No, nothing. He was not a detective. He was in uniform.
Okay.
So, no. So you got uniform. There were scary uniform guys.
Right.
Super scary.
Yeah.
Have I told you? Yeah, anyway. That one. But, so one night it was pissing down, and it was one of those incredible torrential nights in Sydney where the water was just flowing down the drains, and they were conducting a record of interview with this guy that I would describe, if you had to rate him out of 10 in terms of badness, as opposed to the detective, this guy was maybe a 5.
Okay.
On the scale of badness.
What's the conversion rate for the bad guy scale?
Exactly the same.
Exactly the
same. They're both 1 to 10.
Right. So
a 10 detective is rotten to the core. It's the same as a rancid rotten to the core crim. They're all the same.
I mean,
you could argue that the police scale should actually be worse because they're police, which is actually...
This sounds like two nerds arguing about D&D dice rolls, but okay, right. So the crim sitting at a 5 on the agility scale, right? No?
Yeah, pretty bad guy.
Yep.
And they're doing the record of interview, and you know, the whole thing about a record of interview is to get as much information as you can about, you know, crimes that this person has or has not committed.
Sure.
So a lot of preparation, a lot of hard work. You've got, you know, the good guy, the bad guy, and in this case, the bad guy was the detective sergeant. Now, for whatever reason, I was over there, and I'm in uniform. Maybe I was just taking shelter from
the rain.
Yeah, because it was about a 200-meter walk back to the station.
Is this the same detective building that we've talked about in Louisiana?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, just up the highway.
Sure.
And this particular detective sergeant, he got up from his chair. They obviously weren't happy with the way the interview was progressing, so they've thought, you know, we need to sort of, you know, get a bit of action happening, let this guy know that, you know, we're not happy with his answers.
Mm.
So we want him to maybe, you know, fess up to a few more things. So the detective sergeant got up, went to the back of the chair and grabbed this guy by the scruff of the neck. They took him outside. And I've said to you that we've got this... Sorry, we've got this situation where...
You okay?
No.
Got a touch of the plague.
Yeah.
Have some water, you silly thing.
Thank you.
I'll have some too. Mm. This show is sponsored by water.
Anyway, so I'm standing inside the office taking shelter from the rain, and I'm looking outside, which is the same window that I used to look out to see those detectives with their beautiful prestige cars on the weekends.
Oh, a callback. Thank you.
The ones that I described as a Richtermalian car yard.
That's right.
And the scene that unfolded before my very eyes was so terrifying and real. So that just reinforced the fact that you were working with some pretty scary people.
Sure.
And criminals.
Yeah.
So,
but you're implying that the police were scarier than...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Some of them were absolutely scary.
Right.
And to do that in front of a uniformed police officer, he didn't give a rat's ass. Because the culture was that, you know, no matter what you saw, you'd never say anything.
Just to be clear, you have not told me what they're doing.
No.
Can you?
I'm going to.
Because you talked about it as if it was as if we passed that moment in time.
No, no. I just want. I'm for effect. I'm you know creating, trying to create that sensation of me looking through big glass windows at a scene that's about to unfold.
This is how the sausage is made, and sometimes there's horse meat in the sausage. All right.
So he had an offsider, the detective, and they went over to the drain, and the water was. Absolutely. Have you ever seen in a storm the way the water goes down stormwater drains?
You mean have I seen rain?
Have you seen...
See, what are you talking about?
Have you seen the flow of water in a storm the way it goes down a stormwater drain?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. Well, one of the detectives reached down and removed the grill from the stormwater drain.
Oh, that doesn't...
And they fed the guy... into the drain.
Oh, my God.
And then they put the grill back over.
No!
Oh, yeah.
They gave him the it treatment.
Well, I'm watching this, and I expected when they removed the drain, he'd be gone, just obviously.
A single red balloon would float out.
Just gone.
So, hey, my question is, so it's right. First of all, I would like to retroactively apologize for any flippancy because this is horrifying. So it's like flood situations. Yeah. Water is... Because the thing about Sydney over Melbourne is those storms get
flash
tropical.
Floods.
Yeah, flash
incredible.
Floods, right? And North Sydney is very hilly.
Yep.
So there's water just absolutely just bucketing down. Mm.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
They lift the grill off.
Yep. Which is no mean feat in itself. You sometimes see, occasionally, I've seen it twice that I recall, where people have dropped rings or coins of some value. And they're asking people, can they possibly help them remove these cast iron grates? But they're incredibly heavy.
Yes, they are. And they're rough on a hair.
You know, and it's a big thing. So,
how big is the guy, by the way, physically?
Just a normal guy. Right. You know, just a normal man. Obviously, he was in there for a reason. And not in the drain for a reason. He was in the in custody for a reason.
So listen.
And but the most terrible thing I remember was seeing him being forced into the drain.
Was it head first, feet first?
Feet first.
Right.
And I remember I could see his fingers come through and he was clinging on to the grate, because if he had have let go, he would have been washed away and drowned and that's the end of him. And they were obviously shouting out to him various things, and then they pulled the drain, reopened the drain, and they dragged him out. And this guy was shitting himself. And they just dragged him back inside and they just threw him down onto this chair and he saturated. And then they recommenced the record of interview as though nothing had happened. Needless to say, from what I could gather, is that he was more than compliant and probably admitted to lots of things he hadn't done.
Right.
Now, it needs to be explained, and I've touched on this topic before, that at the end of a record of interview, you've got the good guy, the bad guy, and generally the junior guy is doing the typing and he's typing away, and then they ask those fabulous four questions. Do you recall those questions? Was any threat, promise or inducement held out to you in making this statement? That's one question. To which he would go, no. He wouldn't say, Well, I was actually put in a stormwater drain and almost washed into Sydney Harbour, because if he did that...
They put him back in the drain.
Probably put him back. Mm. So that's one of the techniques that they used to use during interviews to get certain information.
That's really horrible. I guess my question is, why would they do that in full view of a junior officer?
They don't care. What on earth would they? I wouldn't say anything.
You dob on them.
You're joking, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only talking about it now.
It's taken
how many years later is that?
I guess my
probably close to 40 years after the incident.
My question is this, Dad. Just put yourself in the mindset of, okay, so you're a detective, you're bent a bit at least, you're scary, and you have just put a criminal inside a storm drain in a high flash flood in front of a junior officer.
Yep.
You know that junior officer has seen it.
Yep.
It's 40 years later. You're smoking a cigar on some sort of chaise lounge, being fed some grapes. I don't presume to know the specific, proclivities of ex-detectives. And you get this podcast slid across your desk, which is weird because it's an audio format. It's not a physical thing. And you hear someone telling this story. Is there any universe in which you think that that detective listening to this would be put out by that? Or do you think he'd be like, whatever?
Not in the slightest.
Okay.
Nah, not a chance. Okay. Back in the day, back in those days, it was, you know, honestly. And as I've said and to you on numerous occasions, Paul,
yeah,
why on earth would anyone fess up to something like that? What would the point be? Why would he or she go, oh, yeah, that was me?
Sure.
Not a chance. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. But, you know, they used to get results, these particular people, by hook or by crook.
How often did you see insane things being done by detectives that you thought were out of line?
Probably twice a week.
Gee, okay. I thought you were just going to stop it twice.
Twice a week, but also I saw a lot of general duties police meter out bad shit as well.
Yeah, we've heard about some of that before.
Yeah.
What's the because I would have thought being put in a drain is pretty high concept.
That's bad.
What's something equally or more strange and cruel that you saw detectives specifically dole out?
Well, the worst thing that I've ever rephrase that. I guess the worst thing I'd ever seen. At a local level.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about the squads in the city.
Mm.
At the end of the month, in our command, the detectives always like to sort of have a bit of a clear-up rate. So, you know, for statistics.
Yeah.
They'd like to have a lot of unsolved crimes solved, and they didn't really care how they went about that.
Right.
So I've been really having a bit of a mental tug of war with this particular story I'm about to tell.
You don't now, if you're feeling like you won't be safe telling
it. No, it's not a matter of safe. Okay. A long time has moved on. We've moved on in terms of years.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try and make it slightly generic.
Okay.
In fact, I've got a great way of telling the story.
Please do.
I'm going to preface the story by saying, imagine if this story was to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that sound?
Great.
Okay, so imagine, Paul and listeners, that let's hypothetically imagine you have got, say, 30 armed hold-ups that you just need to solve.
Yeah.
And because armed robberies back in the day were an hourly occurrence in Sydney all the time. In fact, they became so common that they just were almost not newsworthy. Mm. Because banks didn't have the protective devices that we now have. And there was a lot more cash in society. So imagine you want to clear up some unsolved crimes. So what you do is you go out and you get, for example, imagine if you were to choose perhaps someone on heroin. So you bring them in, hypothetically speaking,
yeah,
and you string them out.
By which you mean deprive them of the heroin, and they start to get frantic and go into...
And you've got all the time in the world.
And they're going through withdrawals at this point.
And they're going through withdrawal symptoms in front of you over a period of hours, even a day. You don't care. And you've got this massive stack of unsolved crimes.
Right.
Let's say, for example, 30. And this particular guy, in this case, hypothetically, that is strung out on heroin, he's really craving and craving... And it gets to the stage where he'll fess up to anything if he can get a fix. And then imagine if mysteriously and hypothetically the detectives had a stash of heroin in the detective's office in a locker with syringes, and they bring it out and they put it in front of you. Just sitting there right in front of you. And you can have it. You can do what you like if you sign up to all these crimes. How's that sounding? That's pretty fucked. Hypothetically. So imagine that happening in the real world.
What would happen if they got that on the record and let's say the person took the heroin and then overdosed and then died? Is that not worse than having some crime solved to fill a quota at the end of the month?
Well.
Isn't that more paperwork is what I'm saying?
Actually, that'd be from a police perspective, if they got that person to sign up to everything, then they passed away. That'd be a double a win-win for the police, really, wouldn't it? Because they would have solved all the crimes.
And right. Then
no court case.
I guess when you look at hypotheticals like that, wearing slippers and a dressing gown doesn't seem so bad, does it?
Oh, it's all relative, but... You know, yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm afraid these, if you can just imagine that hypothetical incident happening in one area and then multiply it.
Oh, like God.
The domino effect.
Oh, Jesus.
Across Sydney, New South Wales, Australia.
Yeah.
The world.
You think it hypothetically is a widely practiced thing?
Well, in certain countries now, without a doubt, 100%.
Right.
Look, I think the police force now, across Australia perhaps, is definitely, you know, because we had some Royal Commissions into corruption and, you know, police conduct, and I think they've had a fairly dramatic, effect.
Yeah.
I was talking to a police officer from Manly, and Manly had its fair share of dramas. A few police from Manly went to jail.
Mm.
And... they're so paranoid now at Manly that he jokingly said to me that if someone drops 20 cents on the floor at Manly Police Station, it's still there a week later.
Sure.
You know, that's how things are now.
Ironically, if the police at that station were forced to clean the station...
They would have vacuumed it up.
They would have vacuumed it right up.
Correct.
With that pleasing rattling noise.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'd like to pivot away from hypothetical police corruption towards one of our listener questions. So... this question, appropriately, given that this is the finale of season one of Loose Unions, the podcast, is from Derek, who runs Castaway Studios, where we're recording the show. So Derek's got a question. It's not phrased like a question, but it is a question. I had a housemate in the job in the early 90s, and I often wondered if the combination of can I read this one again? I'm getting nods. I had a housemate in the job in the early 90s, and I often wondered if the combination of half-price Maccas for police combined with rotating shift work might have been a scary combo for people carrying a loaded weapon. Did you ever get cheap?
Yeah, half-price McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
And does this still happen?
Yep, to this very day. At least in New South Wales, there's a little button on their cash register, and it says police promo.
Right.
And they hit that, and it's automatic 50 cents or 50 cents.
50%. It's not next to the...
I wouldn't pay 50 cents, personally. They're not sponsors, are they, McDonald's?
No. God, no. As long as that button's not next to the button you press when you're being robbed.
Well, that's the weird thing. I mean, I'd like to see the stats, and I doubt there's ever been a McDonald's held up.
Really?
Because there are police there all the time.
Right.
But look, in terms of being, you know, eating shit food and doing shift work and carrying a gun, no correlation. No.
Okay.
In fact, I'd be more worried about working with police that, you know, are doing... you know, sort of, you know, doing steroids and sort of that sort of stuff.
You think there's some beefy boys on the force?
You know, roid rage.
Really?
Which was actually tried to be used as a defence in a famous murder, but it failed. But I've seen some people on roids that are scary.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
I worked with one of them, and on duty, he put his fist through a door, which is pretty amazing.
Well, if the door's open, there's no problem.
The door was closed.
Okay.
You're a funny guy, Paul.
Thanks, Dad. Oh my God.
Yeah, he was also. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean?
Story.
No.
Time out.
Right. That's the please change the subject thing, which happens occasionally during the show. It doesn't often stay on the mic. Have there been any other people who've gotten in touch since the book was written, since the last time we asked this question?
I've had nothing but incredible, glowing, lovely comments.
Okay.
From ex-police. Not all of them I worked with, but you know, some of them. I'm a little bit surprised we haven't heard anything from corrective services about that horrendous story.
Which one?
The one about hiring out the Thai transsexuals as sort of sex slaves in Long Bay Jail. I'm surprised nothing ever came of that, but just goes to show you there are certain things they just don't want to talk about, even no matter how many years later. It's still a terrible thing.
Yeah, that prison episode was pretty intense.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the prison episode, go back and listen. And I mean, parenthetically, I think it's worth adding that if you haven't listened to every episode of this season, we really do have gone some very strange places and some very, very dark places.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of places that Dad was surprised he went. The mic was on and he just...
True. But what I would like to say in closing for this particular season is that, and I've said it quite a few times before, is that we've just scratched the surface, and my stories from forensics and fingerprints make the last 15 episodes seem fairly tame.
Now, what you've done, Dad, is you've set a pretty big challenge, but you've also implied that once the forensic stuff gets aired, this will serve no purpose because it will be tame by comparison.
Yeah, well, it's the forensic stories are mind-blowing.
Yeah, they are really
incredible.
Now,
they are just so... Wow.
The first episode of this podcast was hosted on Michelle Laurie, her amazing Australian true crime podcast. And in that episode, actually on that show, we were interviewed and you told a story from the forensics era. Mm. So if you want to head across to the Australian True Crime podcast and have a listen to Dad tell a story from the forensics era, which isn't in this. And if we ever do anything, wink, wink, related to the forensics period, which, you know, is going to happen, that story will be featured pretty prominently. So if you want like an early preview, like a sneak peek behind the curtain at the forensics period and what kind of stuff you can expect, it's basically like Dexter, but from the other side of the tape. It's amazing stuff.
And also, can I just say to my one friend listener that commented on when they were listening
in one ear.
Yes. So I was in one ear, you were in the other. Mm. So that hopefully that's been. Because that was because I was in Thailand when we were Skyping, which was, you know, not perfect, but it needed to be. We needed to maintain that continuity. But now that I've been coming back to Melbourne, I hope the listeners are really happy with the quality from this fantastic studio we're in.
It's great. Yeah, if you're ever in Melbourne and want a podcast, do head along to Castaway. They're great. Thank you so much for listening to this season of Loose Units, the podcast. Thank you to all of you for all the amazing words of kindness and all the feedback. Thanks to everyone on the Facebook page and the discussion boards. Thank you for the ratings and reviews on iTunes. Thank you to all of you who ran across and have supported Rue Lamarck, Tegan Higginbotham's amazing podcast about French culture. It's just a whole, like, you couldn't get more different to Loose Units, and you've been so supportive. Thank you to everyone for reading the book, for reading Loose Units, the book, the whole reason we're here. And thank you to Dad for all his amazing stories. We'll be back very soon with a new season of Loose Units, the podcast. But in the meantime, why not tide yourself over by grabbing Loose Units, the audiobook, which is available everywhere. Anything else you want to say, Dad? You want the final word?
That'd be very nice of you. But no, I'll leave it to you. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.